Fox, inside low left, Eric Williams. Stockton steals. There it is. Stockton stole the ball. Stockton stole the ball. He's the all-time leader in the history of the game. 2,311. Stockton left to right. Over to Carmelo. 50 foot of the base. Yes. Stockton the ball. Stockton with the ball, front court left. He looks to Carmelo. He's got him low. The mailman jumps it. Shot up. It's in. He did it. He did it. John Stockton to Carmelo. John Stockton with 11 assists. They're on their feet. A new NBA assist king.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending. Welcome to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. Find me on Twitter at BPriest24. You can also find us on Facebook. Search for Name Change Pending and on Instagram at NameChangePending24. Last night's game against the Phoenix Suns. Woo-hoo! Jazz squeak out a win, 96-95. Donovan Mitchell hits a free throw with 0.4 seconds remaining, but wow, the Jazz had an awful lot of opportunities to fold, lose this game. Last year, they probably do lose it, but somehow, some way, they end up coming out on top and escaping the desert, 96-95. Great to see. A lot of fun for the Jazz, now 3-1 on the season. Let's do a quick recap of last night's game. If you ended up watching the first half last night, whether you paid for League Pass or if, God forbid, you had a ticket and you were at the game in Phoenix, that was a very tough first two quarters to watch. I mentioned in yesterday's show how the Jazz-Lakers game on Friday was called a frenetic slop fest by ESPN announcer Ryan Rucco. Well, I think the term frenetic slop fest might be a little bit too nice, too polite for what happened in the first half against Phoenix last night, specifically the second quarter. It got really ugly, but we'll jump into the first quarter. First two possessions of the night for both teams resulted in turnovers, and that kind of set the tone for how the night was going to go, especially for the Jazz as far as protecting the basketball. Mike Conley was whistled for two quick fouls. He was forced to sit at the 9:29 mark in the first quarter, and because of this, he never got into a rhythm. He's had a rough start to his Jazz career through four games. He's really struggled, especially from the field. His shooting has never gotten on track, and last night was no different. 1 of 7 from the field for Mike Conley overall. Rudy Gobert, on the other end, was incredible. His activity, length, set the tone for the Jazz defensively early, and that defensive effort continued throughout the entire game. Every moment that Rudy spent on the floor, He was great. There's no two ways about it. Rudy Gobert was incredible. There's a reason he's the two-time defending Defensive Player of the Year, and he's on his way working toward a third. A lot of fun to watch. After the first quarter, Jazz lead 28-21, and we move into that second quarter. Second quarter, gotta tell you, I think that was one of the ugliest quarters of NBA basketball that I have ever watched. At one point, with 2:54 remaining in the second quarter, the Jazz were 1 of 12 from the field. They had 7 points and 9 turnovers. The Suns at the same point were 4 of 19 from the field, 14 points in the quarter, and 3 turnovers. It just, neither team could get on track at all. It didn't seem like anybody could hit a shot, whether it was defended or not. There were turnovers back and forth. And honestly, if you headed down to your local rec center for the noontime lunch game, you'd probably see some similar frenetic play. It was ugly. The Jazz were able to close the second quarter strong. They scored 8 points with 2 Rudy Gobert free throws and then back-to-back threes from Bojan Bogdanović and Royce O'Neal. Gave the Jazz a 46-39 lead going into halftime. In that first half, the Jazz only shot 32%. They were able to limit the Suns to 29% shooting. And really good thing that they did put up that strong defensive effort, because Suns could have easily run away from the Jazz on their offensive struggles in that first half. Really, it was a battle of attrition. It was tough to watch. It was frustrating. This is a Jazz offense that I think has a chance to be really good. They've struggled. You could tell Bojan Bogdanović had a couple dribble drives where he tried to kick it out and threw the pass over the head of a couple Jazz players. And just they're still trying to figure each other out. They really are. They're working hard. They're getting good looks. Just sometimes things aren't falling, and it happens in a game of basketball. Rudy Gobert had 13 rebounds for the Jazz in the first half, and Bojan Bogdanović led the team with 14 points, 11 of those coming in the first quarter. And in the second half, this game turned into really a back-and-forth battle. The Jazz led by 7 going into halftime, and then things really started to pick up for both teams. Early in the third quarter, Devin Booker of the Suns earned a flagrant 1 foul after he appeared to hit Rudy Gobert in the groin on a screen in the third quarter. It didn't look like he cocked back and hit him hard or anything. He was fighting over a screen, but it did look like it was intentional. The referees took a look at it and gave him that flagrant 1. And then just a couple minutes later, Donovan Mitchell picked up a flagrant 1 of his own for the same thing against Aaron Baines as he fought over a screen. So that really set the tone in the second half for a very physical, chippy game. Both teams were battling, trying to match each other on the offensive end and working hard on the defensive end. I think each of the players that got a lot of time last night realized that you can't always control what's going to happen on the offensive end of the floor. What you can control is your energy and effort. Defensively, both teams gave absolutely everything they had. Donovan Mitchell was able to score 12 points in the third, hitting 2 threes as well. He kept the Jazz in the game as the turnovers and missed shots continued to plague the team. Going into the fourth quarter, score was tied at 70, so the Suns outscored the Jazz by 7 there in the third. They continued to pull away from the Jazz a little bit. Some tough, rugged play throughout this game here in the second half. I've mentioned it a couple times. You know, in a lot of ways, this game didn't look like the modern-day pace-and-space basketball that a lot of fans have grown accustomed to. This looked like some of the late 90s games. Very physical, low-scoring. It was an interesting contrast compared to the Jazz-Kings game on Saturday night. With 8:25 remaining in the fourth quarter, the Suns matched their largest lead on a 15-foot jumper from Devin Booker. And it started to look like they might be able to pull away. The Jazz were struggling defensively. The Suns were moving the ball really well, swinging it around the perimeter, hit a few threes early in the quarter, and it did seem like the Jazz were in danger of letting the game slip away. But three players really stepped up for the Jazz at this 8:25 point and finished the game in a terrific manner for the Jazz. It was something that last year, I don't think the Jazz have the firepower to come back from that 7-point deficit. They just don't have the players available to make this happen. But after the Suns go up 7, Bojan Bogdanović hit some threes. His catch and shoot, it's incredible how fast he can get rid of that ball on the catch and shoot. He also had a dribble drive and dunk with his left hand from the left side of the floor. I didn't realize Bojan Bogdanović, as much as I've watched him play, I didn't realize he had that type of athleticism. Then there was Rudy Gobert. He went 8 of 8 from the free throw line down the stretch. It's hard to describe how important that was. Jazz win by 1 point, 8 of 8 down the stretch from Rudy Gobert. It's not something you normally expect from Rudy to shoot that well from the free throw line, but the Jazz needed every one of those. And then defensively, I mentioned in the first half, it continued into the second half. Rudy Gobert was a dominant force on the defensive end of the floor. He was incredible. He was special, honestly. He was truly special, and there's a reason why he may earn his third consecutive Defensive Player of the Year honor. And then Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's athleticism and elite playmaking ability carried the Jazz and allowed them to keep the game close that 7-point deficit into a 95-95 tie with 47 seconds remaining. At that point, tied 95-95, each team traded possessions a couple times until the Jazz got the final possession, called a timeout off of a missed Sun shot. Gobert got the rebound. Jazz called a timeout. I believe there was 7.2 seconds left. Quinn Snyder sets up a play for Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell catches the inbounds pass in the backcourt and immediately drives. He's got Javon Carter on him. Javon Carter was a menace all day defensively, but Mitchell was able to have the space and create a little bit more space with a fake to his right, and then he went left, turned Javon Carter all the way around, giving Mitchell a step. And then Mitchell was fouled by Devin Booker with 0.4 seconds remaining. Little bit of controversy here, especially for Suns fans, because it looked like on replay the foul occurred with 1.8 seconds remaining, but for some reason the referees didn't review it, didn't go back and look at the clock. So 0.4 seconds left, Mitchell hits one free throw, giving the Jazz a 96-95 lead, and then intentionally missed the second shot. Jazz escaped the desert with a 96-95 win. Not totally sure how they did it. It was awesome to see them led by who I think are their three best players, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and Bojan Bogdanovic. I've mentioned throughout the offseason and preseason that I think Bogdanovic, as much as people were looking for Mike Conley, Bogdanovic is going to be the most important addition for the Jazz this year, and he showed it last night. So we're going to take a quick break, and then I'll come back and look at the box score. We'll talk about some of the Jazz numbers specifically. And thank you for joining us on Name Change Pending. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Jerone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. Welcome back. This is your host, Brian Preece. Find me on Twitter at bpreece24. So after the Jazz win 96-95 in the desert last night in Phoenix, let's take a look at the box score and just talk about some of the individual numbers for the Jazz last night. Three players really stand out for me: Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. I've mentioned them a lot in the recap. Without any one of those guys, the Jazz simply don't win this game. They're not even in this game to have a chance to win. Bogdanovic was 4 of 5 from 2, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line, so 8 of 13 overall, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Also had 5 rebounds on the night, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, was plus 3, and led the team in 29 points scored. Bogdanovic set the tone from the very beginning, and then late in the game, the Jazz needed some big shots. Bogdanovic came up clutch time and time and time again, including a strong left-handed dribble drive dunk that I just didn't know he was capable of. Bogdanovic did have a couple bad turnovers on passes. It's just something I attribute to still trying to learn his teammates. He does like to jump, get in the air on his passes. So that's something the Jazz coaching staff will definitely work with him on and try and tighten that up a little bit. Now we'll look at Rudy Gobert, 36 minutes on the night. Only attempted 4 field goals, making 2 of those, but was 11 of 12 from the free throw line. In my memory, I don't remember Rudy ever shooting better from the free throw line, especially down the stretch. He was 8 of 8 in the fourth quarter, really allowing the Jazz to stay close. He also had 18 rebounds on the night. He set season highs for rebounds and points scored, scoring in double figures for the first time this season. Also ended up plus 13 on the plus minus. Had 5 turnovers, and that's something that happens with Rudy Gobert. He's trying a few more things. He's been putting the ball on the floor more, driving occasionally. Hasn't worked out, but it's nice to see because he gives defenses a little bit more to account for. He also had 2 steals and 1 assist on the night. And more than anything, Rudy controlled the game on the defensive end throughout the entire night. Every moment he spent on the floor, Rudy was in charge. He directed the defense. He was able to get out on shooters as much as possible. He also protected the basket. So I would put this down as by far Rudy's best night of the season through 4 games. And then Donovan Mitchell, the third player that really stood out to me, obviously hit the game-winning free throw with 0.4 seconds left. In 37 minutes, Mitchell was only 9 of 24 from the field, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line, 4 of 8 from the free throw line. I'm going to throw away one of those free throw misses because he missed it intentionally in the last attempt of the game. But in spite of the low shooting percentage, it was probably Donovan's least efficient night of the season. the Jazz needed big plays, and Mitchell came up huge. In the third quarter, without Mitchell's 12 points, two threes, there's no way the Jazz are in this game. There's no way they have an opportunity to win. And then it shows the trust that Quinn Snyder and this Jazz team have in Donovan Mitchell, a third-year player, to that final play of the game with 7 seconds left. There was absolutely no intention of getting the ball to anyone else. It was get the ball into Donovan and let Donovan work in space. Donovan can create. He's an incredible playmaker. He was able to draw a foul and get free throws for the Jazz to win the game. So I loved watching it. Now we'll look at a couple other players. Joe Ingles played 26 minutes last night, only scored 3 points on 6 field goal attempts, went 1 of 5 from the three-point line, but had 9 rebounds and 5 assists. He led the team in assists with those 5. And we saw the ball in Joe Ingles' hands more than we have all season. It was similar to last year when Joe Ingles ran the second unit a lot. With Mike Conley's struggles, unable to stay on the floor due to foul trouble and just not hitting shots, not being effective on the offensive end last night, Ingles really came in and was a settling force for this team and allowed Quinn Snyder not to have to get out of his usual rotation too much. They kept Emmanuel Mudiay to only 17 minutes, which is really kind of a good sweet spot for a guy like Emmanuel Mudiay. And then Jeff Green also played well off of the bench. He was 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 1 from the three-point line. Hit 3 of 4 free throws for the Jazz last night. Ended the game with 8 points. It was a good all-around effort from the Jazz. They fought hard. They played really good defense all night long. They allowed the Jazz to come out on top here. Overall for each team, the Jazz shot 38% from the field, while the Suns shot 41.3%. Hate seeing that 38 number for the Jazz, but their defensive effort holding the Suns to under 42% shooting is awesome. Suns only shot 38% from the three-point line, which bested the Jazz when the Jazz shot 32.3%. Jazz were 10 of 31 from the three-point line, while the Suns hit 13 of 34. The free throw line is where the Jazz really gave themselves an opportunity to win this game as well. I've talked about Bogdanović and Rudy Gobert. Bogdanović, 9 of 9 from the free throw line, and Rudy Gobert, 11 of 12. Jazz hit 32 of 39 as a team for 82%. Awesome to see. You can't really ask for a whole lot more, especially when they outshoot the Suns by 16 total free throw attempts and make 16 more than the Suns did. The Suns shot 69.6% from the free throw line. Frankly, the Suns had their opportunities to win this game, and good teams are going to come out, and they have to win a game like this. These close games on the road. At the end of the season, it doesn't matter what an ugly game this was. The Jazz win 96-95. On the boards, the Jazz dominated. They had 61 rebounds compared to 44 for the Phoenix Suns. They were out-assisted in this game. The Suns had 23 assists compared to 19 for the Jazz. And I think a lot of that is a reflection on the struggles that Mike Conley had. Conley, unable to get anything going, only had 1 assist on the night. Turnovers continue to bother the Jazz. They had 23 turnovers last night. The nice thing about how those turnovers worked out is a lot of them were dead ball turnovers, whether they were offensive fouls or passes thrown out of bounds, things like that. The Suns didn't get a lot of fast break opportunities. Suns only had 11 fast break points on the night. The Jazz had 17. So I hate those turnovers. The Jazz are definitely going to work on that. But with the system that the Jazz run and the amount of passing that they do, they pass the ball more than almost any team in the NBA. Because you're passing the ball around so much, you're going to have more turnovers. You're going to be prone to that. But in the second quarter, there were a few turnovers. It was bad passing. It was lazy passing. And they weren't crisp at all. So that'll be something the Jazz need to work on, especially as they go into this week's matchups. Got the Philadelphia 76ers coming up next week, the Clippers on Wednesday, the Bucks. So they're going to be seeing some really good opponents, and if they don't tighten things up on the offensive end, they could struggle in this next stretch. And that's going to wrap us up today for Name Change Pending on this Jazz versus Suns game recap. Jazz are next in action Wednesday night at home back at Vivint Smart Home Arena. That's going to be October 30th at 8 o'clock. A late tip-off as that's an ESPN game. So jump online, grab some tickets if you don't have them already. Come out, watch the Jazz face the Los Angeles Clippers as Kawhi Leonard comes into town with a very tough Clippers squad. They're 3-1 currently, and it should be an excellent night of basketball action.